Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. His ministry of seeking and saving the lost was primarily a ministry of healing and of teaching. As Jesus carried out this itinerant, this traveling ministry that he had in Israel, his popularity with the people, it grew. But as his popularity grew, so did the opposition to his ministry, which came primarily from the religious leaders. About 6 months after Jesus starts his public ministry, opposition to his ministry had escalated. Jesus was aware that the religious leaders discussed with one another what they might do with him, and you might remember that from last week. And so Jesus decided that it was time to choose 12 men whom he could equip to carry on his mission after his departure. And so today, as we continue our series in Luke, the investigative gospel, we are going to look at Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, the message titled, The 12 Apostles. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 6. If not, Aaron will post them up here for you as we read together verses 12 through 16. It reads like this. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. You see, Jesus selected 12 men to be his apostles. He knew that they were going to endure hardship, poverty, hunger, sorrow, and even persecution in their service to him. And yet, in order to accomplish this mission of seeking and saving the lost, he needed to equip the 12 to carry on his mission after his departure. So in today's lesson, we look at Jesus choosing the 12. And the first thing we want to look at is Jesus' preparation in choosing the 12. See, verse 12 tells us, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. See, Luke regularly noted Jesus' commitment to prayer. Earlier, after a busy night of healing and casting demons out of people in Capernaum, Luke actually said that at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. That was in Luke chapter 4. Now, Luke there did not specifically state that Jesus prayed. It's likely that Luke just assumed we would know that that's what Jesus was doing. Instead, Mark actually tells us in his gospel, in Mark chapter 1, that while Jesus was there, he prayed. A little bit later on in Luke chapter 5, Luke explicitly stated that Jesus went to desolate places in order to pray. After healing a man from leprosy, the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus understood that his mission of seeking and saving the lost required his total dependence upon his heavenly Father for success. And so he spent large amounts of time in personal prayer, communing with his Father, keeping in touch with God up in heaven. Jesus also understood that his mission of seeking and saving the lost required him to select 12 men who were going to be central to God's plan of salvation. These 12 men were to be the new covenant, parallel to the old covenant sons of Israel. They would become the foundation of the new covenant church. Revelation actually tells us that these 12 men that Jesus selected, their names are actually inscribed on the foundations of the walls of Jerusalem. These 12 men, they would enter into an intensive internship program. They would spend several years with Jesus. They would walk with him. They would watch him. They would learn from him. And they would serve with him. Then at the end of their internship program, they would witness Jesus' crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. And then they would know for sure that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Savior of sinners. And then they would go into the entire world and preach the gospel, the good news of salvation to all nations, to all people, to all tongues. And so Jesus' choice of the 12 men, it was critical to the success of his mission. Therefore, all night long, he continued in prayer to God. Why did Jesus spend all night praying with his heavenly Father? He did so because the choice of these 12 was so important. Even though Jesus was God in human form, he placed the exercise of those attributes at the discretion of his Father. He did not possess all knowledge. He needed to rely on his Father. He needed the help from his Father to help him know whom to select to be one of the 12. Now, even though Jesus has only been engaged in public ministry for about 6 months, he's already got a growing number of followers. And these followers were all called disciples. And they traveled around with Jesus and they followed him and they learned from him. So Jesus spends all night in prayer to God, his Father in heaven. It's conceivable that as he was praying, Jesus presented each one of his disciples to his Father so that his Father could give him a sense of confirmation about who was to become one of those 12. 3 years later, on the night before he died, Jesus would lift the 12 to his Father in prayer, saying in John chapter 17, "I have revealed to you those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word." See, prayer, it was of vital importance to Jesus. He demonstrated that prayer was his lifeline to his heavenly Father. He said in John chapter 8, "I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." See, Jesus' example teaches us of our own great need for prayer. If Jesus, the sinless Son of God, spent time in prayer, demonstrating his total dependence upon God, shouldn't we do the same? We need to pray when we face big decisions in our lives. We need to spend time with our Heavenly Father seeking his will for our lives. One commentator said, "Too often we engage not in dependent prayer, but in obligatory or routine prayer." And then he goes on and says, "What folly if we frame our lives with prayer as window dressing, but do not really pray? What arrogance to understand Jesus' necessity, but reject it for ourselves." We also need to pray for the work of the church. If we are going to do anything as Richmond Community Church, it should begin with prayer, it should be bathed in prayer, and it should end in prayer. Jesus' example shows us the priority of prayer in carrying the gospel forward into the entire world, beyond these walls. Again, if Jesus, the sinless Son of God, spent time in prayer, demonstrating his total dependence on God, then shouldn't we spend time in prayer as well? If Jesus began his mission with prayer, then how can we expect to accomplish anything at all if we don't spend time in prayer? As another commentator says, "We are never more like Jesus than when we get down on our knees to pray for people to go into the world and preach the gospel." The second thing to notice is the purpose of Jesus' choice. See, verse 13 tells us, When morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. A disciple is someone who follows another person or another way of life, who submits himself to the teachings of that person or to that way of life. In the Bible, the term disciple is found almost exclusively in the Gospels and the book of Acts. Basically, whenever there is a teacher and those being taught, the idea of discipleship is present. And somehow we should all be involved in discipleship, whether we are discipling somebody else or we are being discipled. So Jesus was the teacher, and those who put his teachings into practice were his disciples. So if you call yourself a Christ follower or a Christian or a believer, then you should be a disciple of Christ, trying to follow his teachings, trying to follow his ways. From this group of disciples that Jesus had back then, he chose 12 whom he named apostles. Now clearly these apostles were distinguished from the disciples. The Greek word for apostle is actually apostello. It comes from the verb that means to send. Therefore, an apostle is a person who is sent by another person. A messenger, an envoy, maybe an ambassador. The word apostle is actually used once in the Bible to describe Jesus himself. It's found in Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. See, that is, what this verse is saying is that Jesus was sent by his Father to seek and save the lost. And just as Jesus had been sent by God, so Jesus has called us and called the 12, and he sent them on a mission that had been entrusted to him by his Father. The 12 whom Jesus named apostles were going to be sent by Jesus to represent him in proclaiming the good news of the gospel to all nations. They were going to be sent by Jesus to be his official messengers. One commentator says, in effect, by ordaining these 12 men, God was establishing a new Israel. Just as the 12 sons of Jacob founded the Old Testament people of God, so also the apostles established the foundation of God's new people in Christ. Jesus' choice of the 12 whom he named apostles was unique. They and they alone were chosen to represent Jesus. They were to be the foundation upon which Jesus built his church. And since a building can only have one foundation, their ministry cannot be repeated. Now, with that being said, a secondary, non-technical sense, all Christians, every one of us, are sent by Jesus into the world to represent him. In fact, when Jesus met with the apostles and the disciples after his resurrection, he said to them in John chapter 20, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." We're all being called. We're all being sent out. All Christians have been called by Jesus. We have been called to him in faith. Not a single one of us came to Jesus Christ on our own. He called us. He called for us by name. And as we respond to him in faith, we respond to his calling. We have also been called to serve Jesus in some particular ministry. Just as Jesus called these 12 apostles to serve him as apostles, Jesus also calls every Christian, every Christ follower, to some sort of service. That means every one of us in here should be involved in some kind of ministry. Now you get to choose what God has called you to, or at least God gets to choose what ministry you're serving in. But we should all be serving somehow, some way. Finally, let's look at the persons, the people that Jesus chose. Luke chapter 6, verses 14 through 16 gives us the list of names. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. See, Luke chapter 6, verses 14 through 16 is one of four places in the New Testament that actually lists the 12. The others are found in Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 3, and then in Acts chapter 1. These lists have three points of agreement. First, Peter is always listed first, and Judas is always listed last. Except in Acts, because Judas is gone by then. The first four are always Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Not necessarily in that order, but they're always listed first. There are three groups of four, with the lead position in each group always occupied by Peter in the first group, Philip in the second group, and James, the son of Alphaeus, leading the third group. Of the 12, here we go, Peter is the key figure. He often speaks for the apostles, and he takes a leadership role. Peter's brother, Andrew, is hardly ever discussed outside the list. We don't hear about him. The sons of Zebedee, you know, the sons of thunder, James and John, they complete the initial group, the sequence of the four fishermen. The second group, Philip, is mentioned separately only a few times in John's gospel. Bartholomew, he may very well be the same person as Nathanael that we hear about in John chapter 1. Since many of the Jews had two prominent names, Matthew, as you may know from several weeks ago, was also Levi. He was a tax collector. Thomas, he's the apostle that is going to have to be convinced about Jesus' resurrection. In the third group, we know very little about James, the son of Alphaeus. Then there's Simon, who's called a zealot. See, he was a political nationalist before meeting Jesus and deciding to follow Jesus. Judas, the son of James, he may very well be Thaddeus in some of the other lists. And finally, there is Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor when he betrayed Jesus to the religious leaders for 30 pieces of silver. There you have it, the 12 men that Jesus chose. From this group of men formed the nucleus of Jesus' ministry team. They were a diverse group of ordinary men. Jesus did not select a homogeneous group of men to serve him as apostles. They were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they were staunchy political people, and then there were a few others that we don't know a whole lot about. They were everyday sorts of people, showing the very grassroots of Jesus' ministry. Now, by looking at these 12 men that Jesus chose as to be apostles, we learn that Jesus builds his church from people of different temperaments and backgrounds. Just look around you. Jesus calls the unexpected and the unlikely to carry out his mission. Jesus equips those he calls to serve him. You don't have to have any real special talents. If God calls you, if Jesus calls you to something, he'll make sure you're able to carry it out. He'll make sure you're able to do it. Jesus brings out the best in those who serve him. Well, as you know, Jesus trained these 12 men for a period of about 3 years. And after his ascension, and after Matthias replaced Judas Iscariot, they went into the entire world. They spread out from there and they preached the good news of salvation to all nations. Did you know that all of them, with the exception of John, died a martyr's death in their faithful service to Jesus? Having analyzed Jesus choosing the 12 apostles, as we've looked at and we've looked through Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, we should also put our trust in Jesus so that his Spirit can do his work through us. Jesus chose 12 disciples to be his apostles. They were called to a unique office. They were nobodies when he called them, and they became somebodies because of their faithful service to him. So today, as we wrap this up, Jesus calls us each and every one of us, to be his disciples. He calls us to serve. He calls us to proclaim to the world that he is still seeking and saving the lost. He calls us to go beyond these walls and to reach out to people out there. Will you listen to that call? Will you follow Jesus? Just as the apostles did? Will you serve him?